I saw my stall was here, so I guess it's kind of a change. It's a good thing.
Well, Torrey, I can tell you right from the get-go, wanted to prove to everybody that he was tough, that he could handle the game and the physicality of it. And he was going into corners and trying to physically out-battle, you know, the 6'5" player he's going up against. And, you know, I think the biggest thing we were telling him is that, you know, you're fighting a battle that you're probably never going to win. You need to be smarter than the big guy. You need to be quicker than the big guy. And those are all things that he had going for him.
Coaches that work in the league and people that evaluate the league on an everyday basis, that's the first thing I told you. I guarantee you if they play him that way, he's going to be in trouble. I don't think people give enough credit to how hard it is to be a shutdown guy, and I surely know that people don't respect enough of the other players around the league. The elite players on every team are so darn good. They're so darn good. You can't throw that kid to the wolves like that. I'm telling you, he would be destroyed by the end of October.
I can tell you that Pierre McGuire is not relenting from that position because both of us are, in fact, in Stamford, Connecticut. We came in for an NHL seminar with NBC last night, and we had dinner last night, and he held that position, and he held it firm. He does not think that this is going to be a positive experience for this young defenseman or for the Montreal Canadiens for putting him in this position this early in his career.
Let's be honest here. David Schlemko is a player that has not practiced yet fully with contact with the team. Until he's back, I don't think there's any rush for Victor Mete to be sent down to juniors.
Welcome back. It's not even game night yet. Can't wait till Thursday. That was, of course, Victor Mete and Claude Julien after practice today. The young man has made the team to begin the season Thursday in Buffalo. Pierre McGuire with us yesterday, Darren Dreger, and Marc Denis, regulars on the morning show. Marc is on every morning at 8:05 now with Connor McKenna, Sean Starr, and Rick Moffitt on TSN 690.
Hockey insider Pierre McGuire, brought to you by Ye Olde Orchard Pub, with six locations in and around Montreal. YeOldOrchard.com.
Along with Rod Francis and Mitch Gallo, a reminder, you can win tickets if you can name the jersey number in about 20 minutes to the Habs-Rangers game later in the month. He's in Pittsburgh. They're going to hang the banner again, the Stanley Cup champion banner in Pittsburgh tomorrow night as the NHL season opens as Pittsburgh hosts the St. Louis Blues.
He's in back. His day, I am a penguin.
Rod is quick on the trigger already. Pierre McGuire, how you doing?
I'm excellent today, Mitch. Thank you. Great to talk with you.
Yeah, you're excellent today. A lot better, huh?
Yesterday was a tough day.
Yeah, it was a tough day for a lot of people all over the place.
It was a tough day. Yeah. Everything in Vegas. You know what's interesting? There's a young man that I got a note from who's a youth hockey player in Las Vegas. I don't know if he heard us talking. I don't know if somebody in his family heard us talking, but he actually found a way to get me a note today via text. So I responded back to him, and he said that they're all playing with heavy hearts out there because the assistant coach from the University of Nevada at Las Vegas, I guess is a club team there, he got shot in the chest at this thing. But I guess this man had done a lot with youth hockey. So I'm actually heading out to Vegas on Sunday to do their home opener on Tuesday. So I'm going to spend the day on Monday with a lot of their youth teams and a lot of their people to try to, you know, just give back to an ailing community. But that was a tough day yesterday for a lot of different reasons.
Pierre, I know it's probably not your thing. You're normally doing something else, especially during the season, but I don't know if you caught Jimmy Kimmel. If not live, then earlier today. He's a native of Las Vegas.
And
it was tough watching him last night kind of fall apart emotionally, and I think he spoke for a good chunk of the country. And I urge you, I know you're kind of busy, but to take 10 minutes out of your day and watch Jimmy Kimmel's monologue from last night.
Oh, I definitely will. It's something that I've been told by a bunch of different people that should definitely take a look at it, so I definitely will. There's no question about that. It's just one of those things right now where you're preparing to do back-to-back games. You know, obviously the banner going up tomorrow in Pittsburgh, and then opening up Little Caesars Arena and not having Mr. Ilitch there, that's right. Going to be a bit different too. So there's still a lot of emotion in this week. There's no question.
All right, so let's go. The Canadians, all the rosters are set, and we'll, I don't know if there's any kind of news-making final moves that we'll have for you, but in terms of the Canadians, with Schlemko starting on IR, we know what their roster is like for at least opening night in Buffalo. So let me try to reiterate again, because people have been texting and tweeting and saying, what's wrong with trying Victor Mete out for 9 games? Pierre doesn't have an issue with that, right?
No. And right now, I think they call it a test drive in some situations around the league. Other people call it giving the player a taste. All of that works. I heard Claude talking about Torrey Krug and how he would try to battle with the 6'5" guys. There's one little difference. Torrey had played 3 years at Michigan State against older players, and he was older. So it's a totally different comparison in terms of that. Torrey had played against much more mature players, and he was playing deeper in a lineup that had a Zdeno Chara and a Dennis Seidenberg as part of it when he was breaking in. Physical guys, Adam McQuaid. It's a different lineup. Anyways, I thought Mark Denis' quote at the end, by the way, was outstanding, because that is really appropriate. And we talked about it. I said, there's nothing wrong with giving him a taste. But it comes down to, how are you going to play him? What is the role you're going to play him in? And if you're going to play him in a matchup situation, I can just assure you what coaches will do. They will go right after him. They're not going to go after Shea Weber. They're going to go right after him.
I think it's with those guys is continuing to put them in positions where they can succeed. That's the biggest thing. No matter what player you bring in, if he's a certain type of player, if he's a high-skill player, for example, and he's a forward, and you put him on the fourth line with two grinders, you can't expect the player to showcase what he's got. So it's always about, you know, trying to put players in areas where he's going to succeed.
I love that, because that's been one of my pet peeves over the years is taking guys who are either lighting up the AHL or they have their game as offense and putting them with guys who can't create at all and expecting them to produce. I like that. But further to what specifically we're talking about today.
Well, I would say that doesn't apply for Mete. That applies for every defenseman that we have. And that's why we kind of mix and match them. And you saw it even last game. You know, if two guys are on the power play and they're not really a pair 5-on-5, then the next two are coming up. Could be two guys that aren't even a pair either. So we want guys to be able to play with different guys for all the different reasons. Certainly not just for, you just named one in one situation, one incident. But more than anything else, I want these to be able to play with all kinds of different partners.
So attention to detail out of the gate here. Attention to detail all the time, but especially with Mete.
Yeah. Yes, I would agree. And that's why I think there'll be a lot of scrutiny on J.J. Daniel early on. You hate to do that for assistant coaches, but again, I've walked in his shoes, so I'm not uncomfortable talking about it. It's a little bit more complicated than people think when it comes to changing defense in matchup situations and then having to break up tandems over the course of a game anyways, because of, you know, obviously trying to cover up for one guy and maybe trying to help the younger guy in particular not play in certain matchups. So I don't think Claude is running the whole bench, and if he is, then there'll be way more pressure on Claude. But you got to think early on, JJ is going to be scrutinized, because if he gets the wrong matchups out there or he exposes Victor in a bad situation, that's on him. That's not on the player. It's on him.
Mitch Gallo, do you want to, we started the show off I guess it was a debate about the Canadiens' third pairing and defensive depth, mm-hmm. right? You're not comfortable with the way their defensemen look
right,
to start the season.
Especially with the injury to start. And it's kind of what Pierre is talking about, with trying to protect certain players and limit certain players' ice time. And you have this puzzle that you're trying to figure out, and it doesn't make sense, because I don't think Mark Streit can play anymore. So you have him on the third pairing, and I'm not sure what Victor Mete could do on a top pairing. So what are you supposed to do ice time-wise?
Well, Weber's going to log a lot of minutes. Alzner's going to log a lot of minutes. I think we talked about this from the start, Mitch Gallo. You got to hope that Jeff Petrie's going to have a huge bounce-back year. That's really important for this team. He's got to be consistent and mature and be more of a stopper. They brought Alzner in for a reason, and I think he will not disappoint. And Shea's obviously going to have to eat some big minutes early. I think we talked about it last year before the season. They can't keep putting them over 25 minutes. Now, that was a year ago.
If they're having to play a lot of tight games, he's going to be going over 25 minutes, and then it's going to be interesting to see how long he can hold out. So this is going to be really interesting to watch. The most important thing, though, for the Canes, power play that's exceptional. Don't take bad penalties. Make sure that your top guys are scoring. So Drew and Pacioretty in particular are scoring. Gallagher, obviously, scoring a lot better than he did last year, even though of the injuries, can't be injured. And they've got to play almost letter perfect games. They really do. If they're going to have a long run at it, you might have a short little term run at it. But if they're going to have a long run at it, they're going to have to play a lot of really, really good games. There's not a lot of wiggle room.
And I guess also what I'm trying to figure out when it comes to the blue line is I'm trying to compare it to last year. And you have Yemlin out, you have Bolia out, and you have Markov out. And for opening night, you add Mete, you add Alsner, and you add Streit. And I don't see that as a better defense.
Well, you're probably right on paper. I mean, it's hard to argue with you on paper, but the games aren't played on paper. So, again, they've got to be hoping that Mete can take a huge step. They got to hope that Petrie can get back to where he was, and they got to hope that Alsner is going to be able to play 82 games and play as consistently as he did 2 years ago. Last year was kind of tough for him because of injury. But I would never thought that Carl would sign there, so I was totally wrong on that. But I would tell you that Carl Alsner is a good player, and I was really happy for the Canes and their fans when they got him. He's a really good player.
He is more consistent an NHL defenseman than Alexei Yemelin is. And,
oh yeah,
and
but
again,
he's different. He's different. He's not a thumper,
but he's a positionally he's smarter. Totally, I think positionally.
Absolutely, you're 100% correct, and that's why I was happy for them, because in my wildest dreams, I never thought that he would end up there. I thought Calgary was going to be in play. I thought Vancouver potentially back home for him, maybe even Edmonton if they could have found some cap space. I thought he was going to go back out west. But clearly, Carey Price played a huge role, as did Shea Weber, in terms of the recruitment of Carl Alsner.
Brendan Gallagher, B.C., Jordy Benn, B.C.
Yeah.
But no, just mentioning they're
you know those guys, but you're right on. You're right on.
And let's remember that Alexei Yemelin was a top pairing defenseman for a big chunk of last year. As silly as that might sound, he was. And this is a team that finished with over 100 points. The big thing is Markov. How do they replace Markov? We're about to find out. Rod?
We mentioned the power play, and you hammer it home how critical it's going to be for Montreal, Pierre. Last year, finished at 13th, but it was wildly inconsistent. That varied considerably all year long. Before that, the year before 25th, the year prior 25th. At what point does a power play become a deterrent to other teams? How good does it have to be when it really affects how other teams play you?
I would say if you could score on average a goal and a half on the power play on average over a 10-game segment, that would get people's attention. Obviously, I think we talked about this yesterday too, Rod. You want to make sure that the Canes are drawing a lot of penalties so they get to the power play so they can get those opportunities to score. But if you're getting between a goal and a half and 2 goals a game, which is a lot, obviously, in the power play, but if you can get in that range, you're going to intimidate some people, no question.
Something they weren't doing a year ago.
No.
They didn't draw penalties a year ago, right?
Nobody was afraid of them.
Yeah.
No, they didn't draw penalties last year, not nearly enough. That's why I used that stat yesterday. That's the thing I'm going to be watching for through the first 10 games. How many penalties did they draw in comparison to some of the more skilled teams like Tampa and Toronto that they're going to be compared with, even Washington? And if they can draw as many or more penalties through the first 10 games as some of those teams and the power play's working, they're going to have a really good start. But if they don't draw a lot of penalties, they're going to have a tough start because 5-on-5 offense is not that easy for them. It's just they're not built that way right now.
Late Saturday night at the Bell Center.
Where would you put the team at this point after game 8?
We're ready to go. I mean, it's as simple as that. You know, we think we worked on the little things, and with each game we're getting better and better. And, you know, now there's no excuse. We're ready for a good season.
Alex Galchenyuk after his goal and assist in that 9-2 win over Ottawa. Pierre, we know how you feel. I feel the same way. Mitch Gallo feels the same way about where he'd be better off, perhaps. But in the meantime, what do you look for, assuming Alex Galchenyuk stays healthy this season, as a left winger? What do you look for him?
Well, I would hope that he's going to be a pure scorer. I would hope that he can get, if he can play 82 games, I'd like to think he can get 30 to 35 goals. And then you obviously have Pacioretty that you hope can get 30 to 40. And Drouin, you're hoping that's going to, you know, again, we talked about him when he came over. I don't know how much going to center is going to affect his ability to score, but you got to think that he, if you can get 30 to 35 from him, which would be a career high, obviously, that would be huge. But I, with Alex, I'd like to think he can get 30 to 35 goals. And if he can do better than that, that would be outstanding. I just, for whatever reason, I really like the player. I don't know the person that well. I've talked to enough people at USA Hockey. They have they've never had a problem with him when he's gone through the USA Hockey stuff. I don't know if he's got problems in Montreal or not, but I'm telling you, the kid's got serious skill, and I would play him at center, but I get it. They want to play him on the wing, so let's see how it works out.
Further to that, once again, Mark Denis this morning with Connor McKenna, Sean Starr, Rick Moffitt.
Let's be clear here. I think, you know, Alex Galchenyuk was a young player coming to the NHL. His entourage and his family was very much needed as far as you know, being responsible off ice, off the ice. But at the same time, I strongly believe that Alex Galchenyuk needs to be his own man.
So kind of alluding there, without you don't have to read between the lines there what Mark Denis is saying in terms of you know, busting out and being his own man here in this city.
No, it's about time. I mean, this is his time to go. There's no question. Again, I think Mark, really eloquent, well-spoken, really good words, very good advice from a former player in the league. So I concur with him. But again, that's why at some point the scrutiny's got to come off this guy and they got to let him play. I mean, it just, it's always his fault, but it shouldn't be. It's just it's like last year. Even when the team was going bad, it was always Nathan Beaulieu's fault. And the year before, it was always PK. There's always got to be one guy that takes it right in the teeth. And I don't like that message. I don't like that organizational message. It's more than one guy. It has to be more than one guy because there's six guys on the ice when you count the goalie. There's two defensemen and five and three forwards. So for whatever reason, Montreal in particular loves to choose a whipping boy every year.
Every sport.
Yeah, Galchenyuk is that guy for whatever reason. I don't think it's fair.
Third baseman in Expos history, third baseman through the years. Didn't matter how good you were. It was always the third baseman. Mitch?
Pierre, I'm just wondering for Galchenyuk, if we don't see him at center, it feels like we've seen him score so many goals as that left-handed shot with his body open on the right side.
Yep.
But they haven't played him much on right wing. What would be the biggest adjustment for him to play right wing 5-on-5? So maybe we could see that shot a little bit more. And also, depth-wise, the Canadians don't have they're stacked at left wing. They have very little at right wing. So why would they not try him there?
I don't know. It's all very fair. They're all good questions, Mitch Gal. I just don't know the answer to that except to say, the biggest adjustment for him, if you're going to be the left-hand shot playing on the right-hand side of the ice, you got to move your feet. You can't just wait for one-timers because it's too easy for the opposition to get their stick in the lane, and your stick's exposed to the inside part of the ice. So that's why if you get your feet moving, you're going to be able to pull wide and create some separation. And now with the zero tolerance on slashing, which is clearly apparent, that, and based on the conversations I had yesterday, that Darren Dreger was alluding to with all the NHL brass, that's not going away.
Nor should it.
But I will just tell you, it will be a major adjustment for top-end defensemen against other teams' top players. It'll be a huge adjustment. Huge.
Who wants to win tickets to the Habs-Rangers game October 28th at the Bell Center? Your opportunity is coming up if you can guess the jersey number. Pierre, all the best. Nice to know you're in Pittsburgh. We know the NHL season is right around the corner. We'll do it all tomorrow on opening night.
From Sweet 66 in lovely downtown Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania.
Say hi to Mario for us.
All right, I will. Have a good night, everybody. Take care.
Gotta go to the pub. Ye old orchard pub. Gotta go to the pub. Ye old orchard pub. Well, if you haven't been there, you probably should. Yeah, the beer is cold and the food is good. I think I'll call my friends in the neighborhood. Gotta go, gotta go, gotta go.